and welcome to MRI Safety Week 2020 SMRT Podcast. This electronic platform that we are using for these podcasts is provided for us courtesy of Northwest Imaging Forums, and we greatly appreciate their support. I'm Bill Faulkner, and with me for this podcast is Vera Kimbrell, Laura Vasquez, and Seth Romo. Welcome, folks. Good evening. How are you doing?
Hey, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Doing good.
So to get started with this, we'll start with Laura. Laura, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, where you are, what you do, you know, sure. That sort of thing.
Sure. Thank you, Bill. So I am from Chicago, and I work at Rush University Medical Center. And we're right in the Illinois Medical District of Chicago. And I am predominantly, my responsibility is as the program director for medical imaging sciences education. That includes MRI, CT, and interventional radiography. And I'm also a registered MR technologist. That's my background. My trade is in X-ray radiography. And I have about 20-something years experience as a tech and about 10 years now as the program director for our educational program.
Great. So a little bit of a newbie here, so we'll be kind to her, I guess.
Thank you.
Seth, tell us about yourself, man.
My name is Seth Romo, and I'm located at the Texas Medical Center at Memorial Hermann Hospital. I've been with Memorial Hermann System since 2003. My role there is I'm a clinical educator, so I work a lot with the technologists and set up a lot of the machines with new programs and new protocols along with the doctors. So I'm very busy. We're a 24-hour operation, so you know I have something like 30 technologists that I work with right now.
So you got a lot of spare time on your hands to keep up the golf game, maybe a little fishing in there, sounds like.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So Vera, and by the way, it won't be by the time you hear this, but this is Vera's birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah,
thank you, guys.
Happy birthday, Vera.
Happy birthday.
So, Vera, I hear you're starting a new venture.
Yes. So
in life. So what's up with
that? I once had a job like Seth's in Boston. I worked at the Brigham and Women's Hospital, you know, kind of the same job as Seth. But now I've pointed my car south, and I'm now in North Carolina starting to work at Duke tomorrow's Monday.
Tomorrow's Saturday.
You know, when you don't have a job, you kind of lose track of days.
Well, that and all this, you know, the COVID stuff. It's like I don't know what day it is, and I'm looking forward to the day I can actually wear pants that have a zipper in them.
Yeah, life has changed.
Yes. So that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's always exciting to get started a new venture. Well, in this podcast, folks, we're going to be addressing infection control in the MRI environment, which is something that, to a certain degree, and that's kind of a point I'd like people to kind of speak to, you know, we should be doing that anyway. But this is especially important now, currently, that we're in, at this point in time of the recording, we're in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. And so we'll start with Laura. What's changed in the MRI department at your facility? What's different?
So I would say what's changed, I think what has happened is more of an enhancement. We've had an enhancement in overall MRI safety because so many more people now could be walking into our MRI suites. And also we've had just overall enhancement in our infection control techniques and our cleaning techniques post patient care. So it's not really a change. It's more of an enhancement and just being more vigilant.
How do you address you know, when, I mean, I'll be honest with you, and those of you, all of you have been in the field nearly as long as I have, if not longer, you know, it's like when we, in the old days, back in the 80s, you know, a patient get off the table, we'd take the sheet, turn it over, and bring the next one in. you know, I mean, come on, let's be honest, that's what we did. Right, we turned the pillow over, we just flip the pillow, and we turn the pillow, you know, we turn the sheet, and we bring them in. how, particularly now, you know, with COVID-19, how have you enhanced mm-hmm. that cleaning?
So it's a lot more protocol driven, I would say. Definitely, we follow the CDC recommended guidelines as far as to what we use to disinfect. Of course, we used EPA approved cleaners, and also just to make sure that we're using the right cleaning time. So it's not just you know switching the sheets out anymore, especially with the care that we have to use for our COVID-19 patients and to eliminate the spread. So it's essentially a protocol. We essentially, what we do is we have to remove any visible soil or waste that's in the room. We leave the room idle for about, 30 minutes, ideally. It'd be nice to do it for an hour, but depending on the volume, we may not have the luxury of doing that. So we leave the room idle for about 30 minutes for cleaning, and that is to allow any organisms to settle on the surfaces. We turn off our fans in the bore. It's also a good practice to find out what the circulation time is for your HVAC system, HVAC system as well, for find out from your engineers. And otherwise, we let that settle, give it that time. Otherwise, you're just cleaning, you're cleaning after the isolation scan and the room's just getting reinfected by the air. So after that, we just use the EPA approved cleaner. We make sure that we, as far as our approach of the room, I personally use the panoramic approach. So I'll start off on one area of the room and I'll just kind of circle around and make sure I go back to my starting point, whether that's the door or whether that's the cabinets. We clean from top to bottom. We clean, definitely clean in a linear fashion versus a circular motion. So you want to always make sure you're minimizing the spread. We just let that dry for, just settle. And we try to at least wait 30 minutes before the next COVID-19 patient is scanned again. And typically we have designated scanners specifically assigned for COVID-19 patients. And we also try to scan the patients as much as possible during the end of the shift if we can.
Seth, what about your shop? What's, specifics have you seen that you've had to change during all this?
It's remarkable that, that we've all seemed to be doing very similar, the same thing. What we've changed a lot now on our COVID patients is we can duplicate basically, what Laura's doing. But with our patients now, our board runners actually investigate the patients before they get down. So we actually make sure that we get to the patients first, when they do the request, and then we go ahead and look through the labs and make sure to see what we're going to be up against. We have one magnet that's designated, and we follow all the facilitations that Laura mentioned, on the cleaning. And that magnet is only designated. We also on that magnet have a designated monitor, because once we get some of the patients that are on monitors right now, I think we're doing ventilated cases. We're doing a lot of trauma cases because we're a huge trauma center. So those monitors, we take them out after we're finished with them, and put them where, and then put another monitor in. But what we do first is that we go ahead and look up the labs. If the patient has a COVID, then we make a game plan. The technologists have a kit that we've always had before because we've always done a lot of isolation cases in the past. So for us, this wasn't something new that we would have to do. It was something that we always do anyway. It's just that now it's more, like Laura said, it's more enhanced. We look at things a little different. On some of the patients that are very, very acute that come in on ventilations, we have a respiratory team that comes with us. There's a respiratory therapist that helps us out. We've got new filters that we're using on these ventilators also that actually hook up to the patients right from the beginning of the tube right into the circuit, because the new filters that are out there can actually catch 99% of the particles. And then it goes into another circuit with another filter. And then that filter actually goes into the monitor. We use in vivo monitors. So we also have to trade out after we finish that. There's something called a water trap. So we throw those away and get a new water trap in.
So that was something you said was interesting to me. So you like rotate monitors, right? So in other words, you take, you know, monitor A in for this patient, and then you bring that out, clean that, but you got another one that goes in.
We were very fortunate. Yes, we were very fortunate that we have a spare monitor as a backup, because since we run 24/7, if one monitor goes down, we keep another one. So when this pandemic came in, this monitor was a lifesaver for us, because we can actually switch it out and not worry about it, you know. And then if it needs anything to be cleaned or anything, it's just done thoroughly away from us, and so we have that spare monitor with us.
So I think that what I'm hearing from both of you is that we have always had, maybe not always, but for a very long time, we've had good infection control practices that we used on some patients, you know. And, you know, if you go to any busy trauma center, they probably have, you know, several patients a shift that they have to use some kind of isolation or some kind of precaution for. What happened to us in the last 3 months is that we had more of these patients, and I think the public was so aware. I think that one of the things that we had to do for, you know, not just for the patients, but for any of the outpatients that we saw is, you know, make them comfortable that we were doing everything possible. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but wearing a mask my entire shift was something new for me. I had never done that before. I only masked up, you know, when I did an isolation patient. But doing that from the minute that you get into the parking garage to the minute that you get back into your car in the parking garage, I don't know how you guys felt about that, but it was hard for me.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Vera. I think that was from a, you know, mental standpoint, it is very exhausting. I have never felt so exhausted at the end of the shift as I have felt during these times. And you bring up a great point about the infection control being always there. I think that it's so embedded and so ingrained into our education. We don't realize that it's there. It's in the back of the mind. It's there, but we still have to refresh it. So we did a lot of re-teaching. Re-education of, you know, overall PPE usage and how to properly put it on and take it off. But that's a very big part of our radiography and our whole imaging background. And interestingly enough, at our center, most of the employees that have turned out to be COVID-19 positive have actually been non-clinical employees.
Oh, that's interesting. So they didn't get it from the patients. They got it somewhere out in the environment.
Right. It is. Right. It is employees that were not, you know, not in our direct clinical, you know, setting, but it was non-clinical employees. So that's something to be vigilant for, especially as outpatient centers are opening up, not to undermine that you have to properly PPE your staff, your administrative staff, because that's, I think, where we should have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you assumed it was going to be the patients that were going to, you know, cause this problem. But then, you know, and then because there's so many that are non-symptomatic, right, or very low symptoms, it's when you don't expect
that. Yeah, when your guard's down.
Right.
True. It's true that's what she's saying. It's very, very true. I noticed that because we were always practicing, you know, very, very clean techniques, you know. We didn't use the circular, you know, wax on, wax off. It was always linear for us. So we were always doing that. But the one thing that we did notice is also is our supplies. We were never without them. We got very lean. And recently, I've been noticing that our supplies are leaving us faster. And some of the technologists are going to complain to the supervisors that we're very short of supplies or cleaning supplies. Well, I went and checked the supplies. And what I found out, and maybe y'all are seeing the same thing, is that they're actually using the supplies.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. So we're running out of supplies.
Yeah, that's a super
point. We're running
point.
Out of supplies.
Yep.
So people are complaining that we don't have gloves and we don't have this. And that's because the Bill theory of flipping the sheet over and keeping over was probably why you had that extra can.
Yeah, that's why you had the sheet.
So I have noticed that they're very vigilant now, even more vigilant. And I agree with whoever said that the problems that we have are, when I walk into the building, I have to say to you, the place that I work with, and that's not because just where I work there, I feel safer walking into the building right now working with the teams that I have than when I walk out the building and I get out of my car to put gasoline in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The scariest place in the world is the grocery store.
Yes. And for me, the scariest place in the world for me is just walking out the door. Yeah. When I walk into the hospital right now where I work, I feel like I'm in the safest grounds, in the safest place, and I can work with the people that I have because we're using everything that Vera said and that Laura said. We're using it to exponential power now, and we're going beyond. And that's the way we should have been from the beginning. This should have never changed, but it took this to bring us back to reality.
Well, and it taught us some terms that we haven't used often, terminal clean. We're doing a poster for Terminal Clean because I think we kind of all in the back of our mind knew what that meant, but we might have been lucky enough to have someone that did most of the cleaning for us. But now to conserve PPE and, you know, just because there's not enough staff to go around, the techs and radiographers are doing a lot of the cleaning. So we're learning to wipe everything down and rotate equipment and how long to leave the scanner empty and, you know, things like, I don't know but what you guys did, but we took plastic and partitioned off the quote unquote COVID scanner. And we're trying to rotate the technologists so that, you know, you're not doing all the COVID patients on your shift and, you know, just little things that, you know, that you can do to kind of keep everybody safe and sane.
You know, for us here at Houston is that we have, believe it or not, we were very lucky in a lot of things. The one thing I said was a monitor. The other thing that we're lucky is that we have a magnet that's actually goes from one hallway to another door. So we've already isolated that magnet. That's the only magnet in the department that does COVID. So we know that the technologist that works there has to do it. Luckily enough, the magnet that we just put on has all the bells and whistles because we just got it turned over in October.
Oh, that's good. So it's
so
new.
No matter what they give us, we can do. We can do cardiac, which you're doing. We can do medical devices on it because we can do them. We can do abdominal work, neural work, you name it, we can do it. But it's isolated. So the other three magnets that we have, which are next door to them, it's like they're partitioned off completely. You know, we don't even know that they exist.
One of the things I'd like to kind of end this with as we get to the end of it, and we've kind of talked around it to a little bit here, but I think it's very important to emphasize to all the technologists and radiographers that are listening here. One of the things that you always have to keep in the forefront of your mind, I mean, you know, this the COVID-19 and all these additional people and all this equipment and all this, the PPEs and all this stuff coming into your environment, that and Laura's term of enhancement in MR safety, particularly as like it dealt with the equipment, it's important that every facility makes sure that the people in the facility understand that the MRI personnel have to be in control of that environment at all times. You've got all these people coming in with equipment and patients and support personnel, but that does not mean that these people now control your environment. MRI personnel, from a safety standpoint, have to always maintain control of that environment. You guys agree with that or have any thoughts on that?
I totally agree with you, Bill. I think that still is our responsibility, and it's more important now more than ever, especially in consideration of Zone 4, because of all the people that are involved now that are coming down with the patient. So we have to still remember that Zone 4 is Zone 4. So something that's not labeled or approved should not be in zone four. For example, everyone thought, well, you could use a UV light source to clean CT scanners. Why can't you do it for MR? So we had to educate them on that. Yeah. And we took great pleasure in that, but we had to do that. We had to make sure that they understood that MRI was completely different. And for the most part, like most of our radiology departments are so overwhelmed already. They were so overwhelmed, and with this, it just became even more. So more diversions can occur. And what we told our technologists was to, first of all, remember your responsibility, remember your training, follow your checklist, and also take a time to pause and take a breath and ask yourself if you've done everything that you were supposed to do before you take this patient into the room, especially now with so many new people in our area, so many new devices in our area. It's the time out is so critical.
Right. The ACR, new ACR safety manual, for those of you that haven't downloaded it, you really should. It's like 50 something pages. Thank
the Lord. Yes.
and it is very specific on a lot of stuff that's not been real specific before. But they have a section on what is called full stop final check. And I can't recommend that enough in normal situations, much less with this.
The thing is that the COVID patients that all of us are getting, a lot of them come, with so many things over them. They're covered with this, they're covered with that.
They're covered by definition.
Completely. Yeah. And you have to do a complete thorough inspection. And the best thing to do is what Laura said, is train your teams. Make sure, for us, we made sure that all 29 of our associates, all 29 of the associates had to buy into it. Because if they don't buy into it, you're going to have one outlier out there that can get in a lot of trouble. So everyone bought into what we're doing. Everybody understands what we're doing. And that's important, that you constantly keep feeding them information, give them attaboys, talk to them, when they're doing these cases, because these are difficult cases now that they're coming down. They're not easy for us. The worst ones for us are the ones that are coming directly from trauma. We don't know that they've been COVID tested. Those guys come to us with no COVID testing at all. And the techs are really concerned. And we have to treat them like COVID, even though they don't have COVID, because they're coming directly in from the trauma units.
I mean, MRI is tough enough when you throw all this stuff on top of it. And then we are the ones that are looking at safety. And that just does put a little extra on everybody. And I certainly feel for those. I cannot thank you guys enough. We're kind of at the end of the time here. And I really can't thank you guys enough for participating. Vera, happy birthday again.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your move back down to the South.
Thanks.
Laura, for the great work you're doing at Rush, and Seth in Houston. Thank you all very much for your expertise. All of those out there listening, keep in mind that this is what the SMRT is all about. This is what the SMRT does. The SMRT provides current education for its members. If you're listening to this and you're not a member, then what the crap's wrong with you? Join. We've got a lot of stuff that we have for the SMRT members. Vera's talking about working on a terminal cling poster and other things. So all these tools are available to you. And so we think it's just a great opportunity. Again, Vera, Laura, Seth, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I hope you guys have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill, very much.
All right, we're out of here. So thank you again for listening. On behalf of the SMRT, I'm Bill Faulkner. Thanks again.